government option, rather, that's the interest?
Well, a government option, the so-called public option, is a second-best scenario. And if we're really robust, as it was originally designed to be, we would be pretty happy with that. But we really think that what we need is a system like they have in other civilized countries, where everyone really gets affordable care when they need it.
And how do you think this is going to end up once they get through with all of their negotiations and back and forth? Do you think it's going to be something that even resembles what many on the Democratic side of the issue would ideally want?
No. For people who've been studying the issue and actually have been reading the legislation, the healthcare reform is in tatters. And there are a few shreds left. And we feel that if it passes, there will be a great deal of work to be done to make it into something humane and decent for all Americans.
Can I get your name, please?
Gail Sredanovic.
Spell your last name for me.
S like in Sam, REDANOVIC.
And it's spelled Gail, please.
GAIL.
All right, thank you very much. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Pelosi as a Christmas present, since, you know, she tried to give it to us, but we don't really want it. So the question is, would people come out? We haven't completely finalized the plans, but our thought was to do, to go to her house to make a presentation on either Christmas Eve or Christmas morning.
She doesn't celebrate.
I'm ready.
So who would come on Christmas Eve?
Be out of town.
Not a lot. Who would come on Christmas morning?
Louder!
Better bullhorns.
Louder!
Who would come on Christmas morning?
Too early.
Okay, so.
What about early afternoon?
Who would come Christmas early afternoon before you go to the movies?
I'd go Christmas Eve.
Okay, so I guess what will happen is that we'll have some discussion within our group, and we'll put something out on email and on IndieBase, so look for it, and hope to see you then, and Merritt has something to say.
I'm collecting these back so we can use them again.
Everyone can get closer to me. Would that be cool?
That's a really good idea.
What works better is if you hold it a little higher.
Okay.
Like that, right?
Okay.
And then point this at the people.
Okay. My name is Marit. I'm with the Bay Area Coalition for Our Reproductive Rights and Radical Women. I want to plug the January 23rd, 2010 Walk for Life West Coast. It's going to be happening right over there at Justin Herman Plaza, 10 a.m. in the morning. Baycourt, along with a lot of other groups in Baycourt, is going to have a rally and a march against the anti-choice, anti-gay Walk for Life West Coast. And I would like to give flyers to people. I want to get people signed up on the email. If you can come see me and get your email signed up so we can keep you informed. And it's happening January 23rd. Baycourt really needs people to help volunteer. We're in a massive shortage of activists. We need people to come to meetings and help organize. So if you can come to meetings and help organize with Baycourt, we really, really would love to have you. We meet in San Francisco and Oakland every Tuesday night up until January 23rd when we have the Walk for Life. So please come see me right away and I'll get you signed up. And thank you all for being here. Thanks Single Pair Now, World Can't Wait, Code Pink, Radical Women, and all the other groups involved. Thanks so much.
Can I help with a little?
Listen up. Everybody listen up. Merritt made a
an announcement, which nobody could hear, okay? Can you hear me now?
Yes!
January 23rd, there is a major march. There's going to be a march for women's lives. We have to have a counter march. Radical women need support in putting it together. Give me the details.
January 23rd.
Saturday, 10 a.m.
Baycor.org.
Come see, just talk
to me.
Come see Marit. Marit. Come see Marit.
Right now.
Right now.
Thank you.
Absolutely right now. Thank you.
While you're here with a strong voice, can you describe the action that just finished up today?
Incredible. It was very poignant. The people are really committed, and it really made a clear statement.
Can you explain what the action was and what the content was?
The action was people wearing signs, various signs of actual stories of people who have died because they did not get the care they needed because of our healthcare system. And they poignantly died in the market, indicating what a horrific country we are when we deny health care. We should have universal health care, and we need to demand it. And it needs to be free, universal, single-payer health care, supported by the government, not by the people. We pay taxes. I pay taxes. My taxes should support health care for all. We should be a country that cares about the people. We are a country that only cares about the corporatocracy.
Within this, a lot of debate about passing a health care plan that's more the problem than any kind of solution. But within that, we have a Stupak amendment. Can you describe that and why it's so hazardous to women's reproductive health? Because the newspapers are like one side saying it's taking away abortion, the other side saying it's extending it. People aren't really hearing what this Stupak amendment is and what the implications of it are.
From what I've heard, the Stupak amendment would really make it impossible for any insurance companies to fund abortions, and in effect it would really inhibit women, particularly poor women, on any kind of assistance. Even wealthier women with really good health insurance, their health insurance would no longer pay for abortions. And so it's really a way of stopping abortions, causing more back alley abortions. That's what the coat hangers are for. The coat hangers represent the way women used to get abortions. Back alley abortions and death frequently occurred after a back alley abortion, and that's what we're headed back to. Even now we're having back alley abortions because so many areas don't have clinics that offer abortion, and it should be free, on demand, without apology. World can't wait. Thank you.
All right, thanks. We're out here, Onita O'Shea, we're out here after the die-in for healthcare rights. And one of the big problems in this healthcare bill, I think the whole thing is the problem, not the solution, but this Stupak amendment, which is going to more and more limit abortion for lower income people. I think the corporate press is confusing the issue. Can you describe this amendment and what it is about the amendment that's actually going to be adding further restrictions to abortion that the religious right's been pushing for, rather than keeping things as they are or expanding those rights?
Sure. Well, I mean, the basic idea behind the Stupak-Pitts Amendment is that it's a federal legislation that would further restrict funding for abortion on a like on a federal level, basically, which is what the Hyde Amendment already did effectively with Medicare. It restricts, you know, you can't basically pay for an abortion using Medicare. But the problem with Stupak Pitts is that it even further restricts it. So if a woman has private insurance, for example, under the new healthcare reform with the Stupak Pitts Amendment, it basically would make it so that she is unable to pay for an abortion through her private insurance. So basically, whereas before, if you had Blue Cross or something, it covered abortion. Some insurance plans did cover abortion, but with the federal implementation, it would take away that right, and she would have to basically have to pay out of pocket or go to a clinic. And the effect on clinics would be that they wouldn't get reimbursed. So they would basically, like the Women's Choice Clinic in Oakland, have to shut down from basically providing the procedures at a huge cost and not being reimbursed by the state or the federal government.
Now, am I right? Currently, the public plans like Medi-Cal and Medicare that are kind of income and age entitled, they don't cover abortion, but the general private policies people have from their employers, or if they were to buy Kaiser or Blue Cross, they do cover abortion. Is that accurate?
That's accurate, because you can buy different plans or different packages, whatever. They're products that you basically buy from the insurance company to be able to pay for different procedures. And abortion is one of those procedures.
And what I'm reading into it, if I'm hearing it right, is we've got this whole extension of subsidies that the Obama administration's going to pay directly to the insurance company in the name of people who need that. And is that's the mechanism where they're now saying that these private plans are publicly funded plans and saying that they can't be providing abortion with that because there's a public subsidy, something like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little confusing, and I need to kind of read more about it myself, but I mean, basically, the healthcare reform would still be based on the corporations of hospitals, of insurance companies, still making money. There's just an article I was trying to.
The incredible shrinking public option,
a killer compromise on healthcare. This is from the latest of the Freedom Socialist newspaper. So public demand for universal health coverage has morphed into universal private insurance for the medical industry. Senate and House bills force everyone to buy insurance or pay a fine, except the very poor. This gives insurance companies 40 million new customers who must buy plans with high deductibles and poor coverage. Insurance companies will be barred from denying policies to those with pre-existing conditions, but they can charge up to double the normal rates based on health status and age. Provisions to cover preventative care have a tricky wellness incentive to allow charging more to those who don't stay healthy. So basically, it's more of the same, but given, you know, it's basically not even really a reform. They're just trying to react in some way. The government is trying to react in some way to the people's demands, but this is still a continuation of profits before people.
Right. It's the status quo, actually, because John McCain's solution to health care when he was running was he picked up a small public option, tiny public option that was available around the D.C., Maryland area, that tiny amount of people, just like what this public option is now, and sort of said we should bolster this a little bit to provide health care. So instead of providing choice, all they're doing, I just read that article this morning, all they're doing at this point is putting this public option up for a tiny amount of people who can't find any other insurance. And anyone who has any kind of insurance, this is like the status quo, even if that insurance is unacceptable to provide them anything, can't go into this public option. So that's different from the initial thing, which would have given everybody, a lot of people, a fixed option choice to go to the public system if the private system didn't work for them. Make a link to the actions coming up in January. Is it the 6th annual Walk for Life? And there's going to be a counter protest in action. Can you describe the links to what's going on right now and the organizing towards this action that's going to be happening about 6 weeks from now?
Yeah. Well, the Walk for Life is a right-wing anti-abortion group that comes to San Francisco every year and marches on the Embarcadero on the anniversary of Roe v. Wade against abortion. So every year, reproductive justice activists have gathered to have a counter demonstration and basically to rally and demand furthering reproductive justice and abortion rights for women, which are already severely restricted. And this year, with all of the attacks on, with the, you know, really devastating healthcare system that we have, and the, opportunities to really try to make a change in our society based on that, we really want to push for healthcare for all, abortion free, legal, and on demand. You know, no to the Stupak Pitts Amendment, no to the Hyde Amendment, repeal the Hyde Amendment, and basically extend health care to undocumented immigrants and everybody in this country who deserves it. Everybody deserves health care. So we're meeting on Tuesdays, and I encourage everyone to get involved in the Bay Area Coalition for Our Reproductive Rights. You can go to baycor.org to find out more about our meetings. And the demonstration will be on January 23rd, 2010. It's a Saturday morning at 10 a.m. at the Embarcadero in San Francisco.
Yes, and one more portion of this healthcare plan that's under organizing right now is this healthcare plan basically outlaws any moves for single-payer healthcare, which we need and which any socialist or socialist feminist is pushing for, just what you're talking about, healthcare for all. Senator Sanders from Vermont has recently put up a bill, I guess, to replace the aborted bill before that. I believe it's Senate Bill 703, which will put a single payer, some type of a single payer option into this bill, something like the last amendment by Conyers-Kucinich that fell by the wayside, which would give the states rights within this plan to put in a single-payer health care bill at the kind of as a demonstration project, where if it works in one state, then activists could get out and say, hey, you know, we told you so, let's get this done nationally. So I just wanted to throw that in too. Anything else?
Definitely get involved with BayCor, and I'm with a group called Radical Women, and we definitely support single payer, but we also call for, basically nationalize the healthcare industry under workers' control, so that we, you know, the nurses and the doctors and the administrative staff, we know best how to run the system, so we should put it into the workers' hands and make it for the people.
Hey.
Thank you.
Thanks.